rising sweet with charm of earliest birds. Pleasant the sun, when first on this delightful land he spreads his orient beams on herb, tree, fruit, and flower, glistering with dew. Fragrant the fertile earth after soft showers, and sweet the coming on of grateful evening mild. Then silent night, with this her solemn bird, and this fair moon, and these the gems of heaven, her starry train. But neither breath of morn, when she ascends with charm of earliest birds, nor rising sun on this delightful land, nor herb, fruit, flower, glistering with dew, nor fragrance after shower, nor grateful evening mild, nor silent night with this a solemn bird, nor walk by moon or glittering starlight without thee a sweet. But wherefore all night long shine these, for whom this glorious sight, when sleep hath shut all eyes?
From Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare. Come night, come Romeo, come thou day in night, for thou would lie upon the wings of night, whiter than new snow on a raven's back. Come, gentle night, come loving, black-browed night, give me my Romeo. And when he shall die, take him and cut him out in little stars, and he will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night, and pay no worship to the garish sun.
Sonnet 18 by William Shakespeare. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed. And every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
Sonnet 29 by William Shakespeare. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy contented least, yet in these thoughts myself almost despising, haply I think on thee. And then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising from sullen earth, sings hymns at heaven's gate, for thy sweet love remembered, such wealth brings that then I scorn to change my state with kings.
Sonnet 116 by William Shakespeare. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh, no. It is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark, whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
The Bargain by Sir Philip Sidney. My true love hath my heart, and I have his, by just exchange one for another given. I hold his dear, and mind he cannot miss. Then never was a better bargain driven. My true love hath my heart, and I have his. His heart in me keeps him and me in one. My heart in him, his thoughts and senses guides. He loves my heart, for once it was his own. I cherish his, because in me it bides. My true love hath my heart, and I have his.
The Passionate Shepherd to His Love by Christopher Marlowe. Come live with me and be my love, and we will all the pleasures prove that hills and valleys, dales and fields, or woods or steepy mountain yields. And we will sit upon the rocks and see the shepherds feed their flocks by shallow rivers to whose falls melodious birds sing madrigals. And I will make thee beds of roses and a thousand fragrant posies, a cap of flowers, and a kirtle embroidered all with leaves of myrtle. A gown made of the finest wool, which from our pretty lambs we pull. Fair-lined slippers for the cold, with buckles of the purest gold. A belt of straw and ivy buds, with coral clasps and amber studs. And if these pleasures may thee move, come live with me and be my love. The shepherd swains shall dance and sing for thy delight each May morning. If these delights thy mind may move, then live with me and be my love.
Her Reply by Sir Walter Raleigh. If all the world and love were young, and truth in every shepherd's tongue, these pretty pleasures might me move to live with thee and be thy love. But time drives flocks from field to fold, when rivers rage and rocks grow cold, and Philomel becometh dumb, the rest complains of cares to come. The flowers do fade, and wanton fields to wayward winter reckoning yields. A honey tongue, a heart of gall, is fancy's spring, but sorrow's fall. Thy gowns, thy shoes, thy beds of roses, thy cap, thy kirtle, and thy posies, soon break, soon wither, soon forgotten, in folly ripe, in reason rotten. Thy belt of straw and ivy buds, thy coral clasps and amber studs, all these in me no means can move to come to thee and be thy love. But could youth last and love still breed, had joys no date nor age no need, then these delights my mind might move to live with thee and be thy love.
She Walks in Beauty by Lord Byron. She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes, thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies. One shade the more, one ray the less, had half impaired the nameless grace which waves in every raven tress, or softly lightens o'er her face, where thoughts serenely sweet express how pure, how dear their dwelling place. And on that cheek and o'er that brow, so soft, so calm, yet eloquent, the smiles that win, the tints that glow, but tell of days in goodness spent, a mind at peace with all below, a heart whose love is innocent.
From Dr. Faustus by Christopher Marlowe. Was this the face that launched a thousand ships, had burnt the topless towers of Ilium? Sweet Helen, make me immortal with a kiss. Her lips suck forth my soul, see where it flies. Come, Helen, come, give me my soul again. Here will I dwell, for heaven is in these lips, and all is dross that is not Helena. I will be Paris, and for love of thee, instead of Troy, shall Wittenberg be sacked. And I will combat with weak Menelaus, and wear thy colors on my plumed crest. Yea, I will wound Achilles in the heel, and then return to Helen for a kiss.
Oh, thou art fairer than the evening air, clad in the beauty of a thousand stars. Brighter art thou than flaming Jupiter when he appeared to hapless Semele. More lovely than the monarch of the sky in wanton Arethusa's azured arms. And none but thou shalt be my paramour.
The Hill by Rupert Brooke.
Breathless, we flung us on the windy hill, laughed in the sun, and kissed the lovely grass. You said, "Through glory and ecstasy we pass. Wind, sun, and earth remain. The birds sing still when we are old. And when we die, all's over that is ours, and life burns on through other lovers, other lips," said I. "Heart of my heart, our heaven is now, is won. We are earth's best that learnt her lesson here. Life is our cry. We have kept the faith," we said. "We shall go down with unreluctant tread, rose-crowned into the darkness." Proud we were, and laughed that had such brave, true things to say. And then you suddenly cried, and turned away.
The Vase of Perfume by Chang Wu Qian, translated by Gertrude L. Jorison. If I open this flask of jade in which is enclosed a wondrous perfume, its mysterious fragrance will overpower thee. When I caress thee, O my vase of amber, do not breathe forth thy amorous thoughts.
When a Beggar Beholds You, anonymous, translated by Gertrude L. Jorison. When the breeze inflates your two robes of silk, you look like a goddess enveloped in clouds. When you pass, the flowers of the mulberry tree drink in your perfume. When you carry the lilacs that you have gathered, they tremble with joy. Bands of gold encircle your ankles. Stones of blue gleam in your girdle. A bird of jade has made its nest in your hair. The roses of your cheeks mirror themselves in the great pearls of your collar. When you look at me, I see the river Yun flowing. When you speak to me, I hear the music of the wind among the pines of my own country. When a horseman meets you at dusk, he thinks it is already dawn, and brutally he brings his horse to a standstill. When a beggar beholds you, he forgets his hunger.
Somewhere I Have Never Traveled by E.E. Cummings. Somewhere I have never traveled, gladly beyond any experience, your eyes have their silence. In your most frail gesture are things which enclose me, or which I cannot touch because they are too near. Your slightest look easily will unclose me, though I have closed myself as fingers. You open always, petal by petal, myself, as spring opens, touching skillfully, mysteriously, her first rose. Or if your wish be to close me, I and my life will shut very beautifully, suddenly, as when the heart of this flower imagines the snow carefully everywhere descending. Nothing which we are to perceive in this world equals the power of your intense fragility, whose texture compels me with the color of its countries, rendering death and forever with each breathing. I do not know what it is about you that closes and opens. Only something in me understands the voice of your eyes is deeper than all roses. Nobody, not even the rain, has such small hands.
For C.K. at His Christening by Daniel Lawrence Kelleher. We wish to the new child a heart that can be beguiled by a flower that the wind lifts as it passes. If the storms break for him, may the trees shake for him their blossoms down. In the night that he is troubled, May a friend wake for him, so that his time be doubled, and at the end of all loving and love, may the man above give him a crown.
A Prayer in Spring by Robert Frost. Oh, give us pleasure in the flowers today, and give us not to think so far away as the uncertain harvest. Keep us here, all simply in the springing of the year. Oh, give us pleasure in the orchard white, like nothing else by day, like ghosts by night. And make us happy in the happy bees, the swarm dilating round the perfect trees. And make us happy in the darting bird that suddenly above the bees is heard, the meteor that thrusts in with needle bill, and off a blossom in mid-air stands still. For this is love, and nothing else is love, the which it is reserved for God above to sanctify to what far ends he will, but which it only needs that we fulfill.
Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Reflection.
Sometimes a poem comes to us almost like a message in a bottle found while we are walking along a beach. At times when it is hard to hear or see things clearly, a poem carries thoughts from other times or places, from those who have faced similar challenges and whose ability to articulate their experiences can bring moments of insight and calm. These poems explore solitude, loss, and contemplation. They offer solace, wisdom, and hope. I have found that when a poem is passed from one person to another, it deepens in meaning in an almost mystical way. There are poems in this section that meant something to my father, my mother, and my brother. Others came from cousins, friends, and from my husband and my children. By associating these works with people I love, each poem means that much more to me. I hope that by sharing them in this program, these poems will bring the same insight and joy to others.
From Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace.
Prayer for Peace by St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Sonnet on His Blindness by John Milton. When I consider how my light is spent ere half my days in this dark world and wide, and that one talent, which is death to hide, lodged with me useless, though my soul more bent to serve therewith my Maker, and present my true account, lest he, returning, chide. Doth God exact day labor, light denied, I fondly ask? But patience, to prevent that murmur, soon replies, God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke, they serve him best. His state is kingly. Thousands at his bidding speed and post o'er land and ocean without rest. They also serve who only stand and wait. Death by John Donne. Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. From rest and sleep, which but thy picture be, much pleasure, then from thee much more must flow. And soonest our best men with thee do go, rest of their bones and soul's delivery. Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men, and dost with poison, war, and sickness dwell. And poppy or charms can make us sleep as well and better than thy stroke. Why swellest thou then? One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die.
Ozymandias by Percy Bysshe Shelley. I met a traveller from an antique land, who said, Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away.
His Pilgrimage by Sir Walter Raleigh. Give me my scallop shell of quiet, my staff of faith to walk upon, my scrip of joy, immortal diet, my bottle of salvation, my gown of glory, hope's true gauge, and thus I'll take my pilgrimage. Blood must be my body's balmer, no other balm will there be given, whilst my soul, like quiet palmer, traveleth towards the land of heaven. Over the silver mountains, where spring the nectar fountains, there will I kiss the bowl of bliss, and drink mine everlasting fill upon every milken hill. My soul will be a dry before, but after it will thirst no more.
Ode on a Grecian Urn by John Keats. Thou still unravished bride of quietness, thou foster child of silence and slow time, sylvan historian, who canst thus express a flowery tale more sweetly than our rhyme. What leaf-fringed legend haunts about thy shape, of deities or mortals, or of both, in Tempe or the dales of Arcady? What men or gods are these? What maidens loath? What mad pursuit? What struggle to escape? What pipes and timbrels? What wild ecstasy? Heard melodies are sweet, but those unheard are sweeter. Therefore, ye soft pipes, play on. Not to the sensual ear, but, more endeared, pipe to the spirit, ditties of no tone. Fair youth beneath the trees, thou canst not leave thy song, nor even can those trees be bare. Bold lover, never, never canst thou kiss, though winning near the goal. Yet do not grieve, she cannot fade, though thou hast not thy bliss. Forever wilt thou love, and she be fair. Ah, happy, happy boughs, that cannot shed your leaves, nor ever bid the spring adieu. And happy melodist unwearied, forever piping songs forever new. More happy, love, more happy, happy love, forever warm and still to be enjoyed, forever panting and forever young, all breathing human passion far above, that leaves a heart high sorrowful and cloyed, a burning forehead and a parching tongue. Who are these coming to the sacrifice? To what green altar, O mysterious priest, leadst thou that heifer lowing at the skies, and all her silken flanks with garlands dressed? What little town, by river or seashore, or mountain built with peaceful citadel, is emptied of its folk this pious morn? And, little town, thy streets forevermore will silent be, and not a soul to tell why thou art desolate can e'er return. O Attic shape, fair attitude, with breed of marble men and maidens overwrought, with forest branches and the trodden weed, thou, silent form, dost tease us out of thought as doth eternity. Cold pastoral. When old age shall this generation waste, thou shalt remain, in midst of other woe than ours, a friend to man, to whom thou sayest, beauty is truth, truth, beauty. That is all ye know on earth, and all ye need to know.
From Antigone by Sophocles. Ode number 1. Numberless are the world's wonders, but none more wonderful than man. The storm-gray sea yields to his prows, the huge crests bear him high. Earth, holy and inexhaustible, is graven with shining furrows where his plows have gone year after year, the timeless labor of stallions. The light-boned birds and beasts that cling to cover, the lithe fish lighting their reaches of dim water, all are taken, tamed in the net of his mind. The lion on the hill, the wild horse, windy maned, resigned to him, and his blunt yoke has broken the sultry shoulders of the mountain bull. Words, also, and thought, as rapid as air, he fashions to his good use. Statecraft is his, and his the skill that deflects the arrows of snow, the spears of winter rain. From every wind he has made himself secure, from all but one. In the late wind of death, he cannot stand. O clear intelligence, force beyond all measure! O fate of man, working both good and evil! When the laws are kept, how proudly his city stands. When the laws are broken, what of his city then? Never may the anarchic man find rest at my hearth. Never be it said that my thoughts are his thoughts.
From Agamemnon by Aeschylus. God, whose law it is that he who learns must suffer, and even in our sleep, pain that cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, and in our own despite, against our will, comes wisdom to us by the awful grace of God.
Ode 9 by Pindar. Their boon is life forever freed from toil, no more to trouble earth or the sea waters with their strong hands, laboring for the food that does not satisfy. But with the favored of the gods, they live a life where there are no more tears. Around those blessed isles, soft sea winds breathe, and golden flowers blaze upon the trees, upon the waters too.
Magpies in Picardy by T.P. Cameron Wilson, killed in action, 1918. The magpies in Picardy are more than I can tell. They flicker down the dusty roads and cast a magic spell on the men who marched through Picardy to hell. The blackbird flies with panic. The swallow goes with light. The finches move like ladies. The owl floats by at night. But the great and flashing magpie, he flies as artists might. A magpie in Picardy told me secret things of the music in white feathers and the sunlight that sings and dances in deep shadows, he told me with his wings. The hawk is cruel and rigid. He watches from a height. The rook is slow and somber. The robin loves to fight. But the great and flashing magpie, he flies as lovers might. He told me that in Picardy, an age ago or more, while all his fathers still were eggs, these dusty highways bore brown singing soldiers marching out through Picardy to war. He said that still through chaos works on the ancient plan, and two things have altered not since first the world began, the beauty of the wild green earth and the bravery of man. For the sparrow flies unthinking and quarrels in his flight. The heron trails his legs behind. The lark goes out of sight. But the great and flashing magpie, he flies as poets might.
Aftermath by Siegfried Sassoon. Have you forgotten yet? For the world's events have rumbled on since those gagged days, like traffic checked while at the crossing of city ways, and the haunted gap in your mind has filled with thoughts that flow like clouds in the lit heaven of life, and you're a man reprieved to go, taking your peaceful share of time with joy to spare. But the past is just the same, and war's a bloody game. Have you forgotten yet? Look down and swear by the slain of the war that you'll never forget. Do you remember the dark months you held the sector at Mamet's? The nights you watched and wired and dug and piled sandbags on parapets? Do you remember the rats and the stench of corpses rotting in front of the frontline trench? And dawn coming, dirty white and chill with a hopeless rain? Do you ever stop and ask, is it all going to happen again? Do you remember that hour of din before the attack? And the anger, the blind compassion that seized and shook you then as you peered at the doomed and haggard faces of your men? Do you remember the stretcher cases lurching back with dying eyes and lolling heads? Those ashen gray masks of the lads who once were keen and kind and gay? Have you forgotten yet? Look up and swear by the green of the spring that you'll never forget.
The Second Coming by William Butler Yeats. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dim tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in sands of the desert, a shape with lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun, is moving its slow thighs, while all about it reel shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again. But now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born.
Choose Something Like a Star by Robert Frost. O star, the fairest one in sight, we grant your loftiness the right to some obscurity of cloud. It will not do to say of night, since dark is what brings out your light. Some mystery becomes the proud, but to be wholly taciturn in your reserve is not allowed. Say something to us we can learn by heart, and when alone, repeat, say something. And it says, I burn. But say with what degree of heat? Talk Fahrenheit, talk centigrade, use language we can comprehend. Tell us what elements you blend. It gives us strangely little aid, but does tell something in the end. And steadfast as Keats Eremite, not even stooping from its sphere, it asks a little of us here. It asks of us a certain height. So when at times the mob is swayed to carry praise or blame too far, we may choose something like a star to stay our minds on and be stayed.
One Art by Elizabeth Bishop. The art of losing isn't hard to master. So many things seem filled with the intent to be lost that their loss is no disaster. Lose something every day. Accept the fluster of lost door keys, the hour badly spent. The art of losing isn't hard to master. Then practice losing farther, losing faster. Places and names and where it was you meant to travel. None of these will bring disaster. I lost my mother's watch, and look, my last or next to last of 3 loved houses went. The art of losing isn't hard to master. I lost 2 cities, lovely ones, and, vaster, some realms I owned, 2 rivers, a continent. I miss them, but it wasn't a disaster. Even losing you, the joking voice, a gesture I love. I shan't have lied. It's evident. The art of losing's not too hard to master. Though it may look like, write it, like disaster.
The Negro Speaks of Rivers by Langston Hughes. I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world, and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
Acquainted with the Night by Robert Frost. I have been one acquainted with the night. I have walked out in rain and back in rain. I have outwalked the furthest city light. I have looked down the saddest city lane. I have passed by the watchman on his beat and dropped my eyes, unwilling to explain. I have stood still and stopped the sound of feet when far away an interrupted cry came over houses from another street, but not to call me back or say goodbye. And further still, at an unearthly height, one luminary clock against the sky proclaimed the time was neither wrong nor right. I have been one acquainted with the night.
The Truly Great by Stephen Spender. I think continually of those who were truly great, who from the womb remembered the soul's history through corridors of light where the hours are suns, endless and singing, whose lovely ambition was that their lips, still touched with fire, should tell of the spirit clothed from head to foot in song, and who hoarded from the spring branches the desires falling across their bodies like blossoms. What is precious is never to forget the essential delight of the blood drawn from ageless springs breaking through rocks in worlds before our earth, never to deny its pleasure in the morning simple light, nor its grave evening demand for love, never to allow gradually the traffic to smother with noise and fog the flowering of the spirit. Near the snow, near the sun, in the highest fields, see how these names are feted by the waving grass and by the streamers of white cloud and whispers of wind in the listening sky. The names of those who, in their lives, fought for life, who wore at their hearts the fire's center. Born of the sun, they traveled a short while toward the sun and left the vivid air signed with their honor.
For a Poet by County Cullen, to John Gaston Edgar. I have wrapped my dreams in a silken cloth and laid them away in a box of gold, where long will cling the lips of the moth. I have wrapped my dreams in a silken cloth. I hide no hate. I am not even wroth who found earth's breath so keen and cold. I have wrapped my dreams in a silken cloth and laid them away in a box of gold.
He Wishes for the Cloths of Heaven by William Butler Yeats. Had I the heaven's embroidered cloths, enwrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths of night and light and the half-light, I would spread the cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams.
Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
In her own words.
When she was an editor, my mother wrote these words to encourage children to discover literature. Read for escape, read for adventure, read for romance, but read the great writers. You will find to your delight that they are easier and more joy to read than the second-rate ones. They touch your imagination and your deepest yearnings. And when your imagination is stirred, it can lead you down paths you never dreamed you would travel. If you read great language, you will develop, without your realizing it, an appreciation of excellence that can shape your life. Read Edgar Allan Poe, Jack London, Jules Verne, Ernest Hemingway, and read poetry in whatever anthology your school gives you. Rhythm is what should first seize you when you read poetry. Do you know Tarantella by Hilaire Belloc? Read County Cullen, E.E. Cummings, Emily Dickinson, Siegfried Sassoon. Do you know The Fog by Carl Sandburg? It is modeled on the Japanese haiku, which is only allowed to be 17 syllables long and doesn't have to rhyme. You could try to write a poem like that. If you read, you may want to write. Great painters learn to paint by copying old masters in museums. You can learn to write by trying to copy the writers you like. Writing helps you to express your deepest feelings. Once you can express yourself, you can tell the world what you want from it or how you would like to change it. All the changes in the world, for good or evil, were first brought about by words.
Sea Joy by Jacqueline Bouvier. When I go down by the sandy shore, I can think of nothing I want more than to live by the booming blue sea as the seagulls flutter round about me. I can run about, when the tide is out, with the wind and the sand and the sea all about, and the seagulls are swirling and diving for fish. Oh, to live by the sea is my only wish. Thoughts by Jacqueline Bouvier. I love the autumn, and yet I cannot say all the thoughts and things that make one feel this way. I love walking on the angry shore to watch the angry sea, where summer people were before, but now there's only me. I love wood fires at night that have a ruddy glow. I stare at the flames and think of long ago. I love the feeling down inside me that says to run away, to come and be gypsy, and laugh the gypsy way. Turtleneck sweaters, autumn fires, swirling leaves and the sky, riding my horse along the hills to say a last goodbye, undressing in the cold at night and getting warm in bed, stargazing out the window at the cold sky overhead, the tangy taste of apples, the snowy mist at morn, the wanderlust inside you when you hear the huntsman's horn. Nostalgia. That's autumn. Dreaming through September just a million lovely things I always will remember.
Meanwhile in Massachusetts by Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy, inspired by John Brown's Body by Stephen Vincent Benet.
Meanwhile in Massachusetts, Jack Kennedy dreamed, walking the shore by the Cape Cod Sea, of all the things he was going to be. He breathed in the tang of the New England fall, and back in his mind he pictured it all. the burnished New England countryside, names that a patriot says with pride. Concord and Lexington, Bunker Hill, Plymouth and Falmouth and Marston's Mill, Winthrop and Salem, Lowell, Revere, Quincy and Cambridge, Louisburg Square. This was his heritage, this his share of dreams that a young man harks in the air. The past reached out and tracked him now. He would heed that touch, he didn't know how. Part he must serve, a part he must lead. Both were his calling, both were his need. Part he was of New England stock, as stubborn, close-guarded as Plymouth Rock. He thought with his feet most firm on the ground, but his heart and his dreams were not earthbound. He would call New England his place and his creed, but part he was of an alien breed, of a breed that had laughed on the Irish hills and heard the voices in Irish rills. The lilt of that green land danced in his blood, Tara, Killarney, a magical flood that surged in the depth of his too proud heart and spiked the punch of New England so tart. Men would call him thoughtful, sincere. They would not see through to the last cavalier. He turned on the beach and looked toward his house. On a green lawn, his white house stands, and the wind blows the seagrass low on the sands. There his brothers and sisters have laughed and played and thrown themselves to rest in the shade. The lights glowed inside. Soon supper would ring, and he would go home where his father was king. But now he was here with the wind and the sea and all the things he was going to be. He would build empires and he would have sons. Others would fall where the current runs. He would find love, he would never find peace, for he must go seeking the golden fleece. All of the things he was going to be, all of the things in the wind and the sea.
This has been a Hyperion Audiobooks production of the best-loved poems of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, read by Caroline Kennedy, Senator Edward Kennedy, Claire Bloom, Daniel Davis, Viola Davis, Byron Jennings, Ruben Santiago Hudson, Jennifer Wiltsey, B.D. Wong, and Robert Frost reading The Gift Outright at the inauguration of President John F. Kennedy, January 20, 1961. Executive producer Maya Thomas. Produced and directed by Kevin Thompson. Production coordinated by Dennis Kao. The Best Loved Poems of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis is also available in hardcover from Hyperion.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.